to death, dropped their stone, the oldest to the youngest, and it was just him and the lady, and Jesus asked the lady, where are your accusers? And she said, I have none. He said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Probably the most refreshing words a sinning soul could ever hear. God saying, neither do I condemn you. But that statement caused the religious leaders to be very unhappy with Jesus. Like, well, who are you to say, go and sin no more? What power do you have? So they've been going back and forth. And Jesus has been telling them the truth. He said earlier in the chapter, look, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. He's like, oh, you know. And in verse 30, if you glance quickly to verse 30 of chapter 8, it says that as he spoke these words, many believed in him because he was not pulling any punches and he told them the truth. So for our text today, we're going to pick it up in verse 31. And we're going to read all the way through chapter 47. So let's read. It says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? By the way, that's a wrong statement. We're going to get to that in a minute. 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. That is a sad statement. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. A very heavy text indeed, especially when that's being told to the holy rollers, religious leaders, people that can quote, you know, the first five books of the Bible back and forth, being told the truth to their face did not, I can guarantee you, sit well with them. But in this text that we just read, there's a word that kept popping up. It was weaved through all our texts, and that is the truth. Seven times in the text we just read, the word truth was mentioned. So, my message this morning, the title of my message is called The Source of Truth. Truth is something that everyone is looking for today. More so now as we are facing and seeing the effects of AI, artificial intelligence, we no longer believe what we are told or see on our phones or computers. We want to find the truth. Why? Well, voices can be you know, somebody can put words in my mouth and in my image, and they can make me say things in a video that I didn't say. They can take that, pastors and politicians and anybody that's popular. So now we are having to go deeper and find out what was it really said, or was it even said at all. We're looking as a culture, as a world, really, for truth. So Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Recently, I was voluntold to become the scheduler of this basketball team, teens. I had no choice. And the guy that had been doing it for years had like three sources. He's like, we have emails, we have a spreadsheet, and we have the calendar. I said, okay. And I am lost. I'm watching this thing. I'm like, how did he do this? He's like, however, if you're ever in trouble, the calendar is the source of truth. If it's on the calendar, it's going to happen. Don't worry about the emails or the spreadsheet. That doesn't get updated. But if it's on the calendar, people are going to show up there. I'm like, oh, okay, good. I have a place that I can go for the source of truth on this job. So by now, you might be saying, okay, see, Raul, this is when why we want Pastor Bill back. Today is Mother's Day. And I came to church, and I brought my kids, and I for sure thought they were gonna hear a message about how kids need to obey, and moms are awesome, and give them a guilt trip, you know. And they only come Christmas and Easter, Resurrection, and Mother's Day is the third one. I mean, like, they're here, and we're going to talk about truth? We are. We are. But let's see what the Lord says to the church. Amen? So let's go. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you hear that if you know the truth, the truth will make you free, we can then assume that if the truth makes one free, then the lie keeps one captive. I mean, this is just a you just flip it. Jesus, in this text, if you pay close attention, he is addressing those who were new believers, but also there's a shift because then he almost turns to the religious leaders in the middle of the text. He's like, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So to the ones that believe, like, if you abide in me, you'll be my disciples in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He addressed those religious leaders that were there because, how do we know that? Because they got defensive right away. Because they immediately go like, hey, we're Abraham's children. So they didn't like that. And verse 33 says, they answer him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Actually, they're wrong. They forgot, or their pride did not let them remember that they were in bondage to Egypt. God had to raise Moses, and it was a pretty eventful thing, okay? 40 years. They also forgot that Nebuchadnezzar took him for 30 years in the Babylonian captivity. Daniel and, you know, Shadrach, Meshach. And by the way, at this time, in Jesus' time, who is ruling Jerusalem? Rome! So their pride is like, well, you shall make, oh, we're not in bondage. It's like, you're in denial, bro. Like, for real. You are in bondage even till the day. By the way, Jesus wanted to say, he would have been like, you're going to ask permission of Pilate, Pontius Pilate, a Roman, you know, governor, to kill me. So yeah, you are in bondage, but their pride, their defensiveness kicked in. He's like, we are Abraham's children. Then Jesus answered, 34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So they were trusting their lineage, their bloodline to Abraham, as means like, I don't need to be set free. I was born a Christian. My grandma, great, 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 great to the 10th power generation, started this church. Her name is out there in the plaque. You don't tell me I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christian by association. That's what these guys were doing. We got Abraham. We're like under the umbrella. Oh, news for you. It's not going to like it. So pride in their heritage of their country, pride in their own self-righteousness will cause them to be defensive, but also it does that to us too. Oh, don't tell me what to do. I got it wired. Why? Because we are not framed to want to hear the truth when we're acting like donkeys. I have rarely heard somebody say, oh man, I got called out, I feel so good. I was told that I was in sin. That's usually not the case. It's usually be like, you should try that with the youth. When I call them out, they go, I don't like that, Sir Raul. Pride. However, truth, as much as it does hurt, is necessary. Hearing the truth will hurt more often than not. However, hearing a lie when we're not doing good, it's not helping, it's hurting. Think about this in sports. I just finished a season with my 8-year-old's soccer team. It's 4v4. They don't keep score. No goalie. It's just for fun. But I keep score. And the other coach keeps score. And all the kids keep score. And this season, we didn't win many games. But then I get a message. It's like, oh, your medals are ready. You give me a medal for a game that we didn't keep score. And if we were truthful, we lost just about every game. And here I am. I don't make a big deal about it. I just hand it over the bag of you to the kids. It's like, here you go. These are participation trophies. Don't worry about it. Now, when you're 2 and 3 years old and you get that participation trophy, I can see that is noble, you know, little Johnny. But when you're 12, 13 years old and you get a participation trophy, I'm not helping you. I'm hurting you. The truth is, you guys were horrible. You didn't win anything at all. Not first, second, or third. You get nothing. Go home. Oh, but you're going to hurt their feelings. Well, that's the truth. If I do hurt their feelings telling the truth, they might work out over the break and become better. Yes. Or go to another team. You're horrible. But they'll do something encouraging them to be, that. Oh, you did great when you didn't win anything? That's almost lying to these kids. Truth hurts, but it's needed. As much as it does hurt, we need to hear the truth. Why, Raul? Why do we need to hear the truth? Because when I hear the truth, as much as it hurts, it allows me to grow if I receive it. If I'm being told everything's fine in my sin, I'm just going to keep doing it. Because after all, everybody's telling me I'm doing fine. But if I'm being told you're doing something wrong, I can grow from that. I'm not going to like you at first. But I'm going to grow from it, right? Because the Spirit moves, the Spirit, truth, truth, truth. When it comes to hearing the Word of God, this Word of God, Bible, it's got to be New King James, okay? If it's not, I'm kidding. There is a lot of entertainment out there. There's a lot of, you know, make me feel good speeches that don't touch on sin and don't touch on hell and don't touch on conviction and don't touch on repentance. Just tell me how my Monday is going to be really good. Give me 3 steps to have a good Monday. Just make me comfortable and don't tell me that I'm doing something wrong. I want to hear that. Oh, make the music upbeat. Yeah, yeah. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If we eat junk food, it'll show. If you get the word of God watered down, it will show. It will show. Speaking the truth is not a popular thing. Again, I seldom hear somebody say, wow, I just went to church for the first time and I heard that I'm a sinner. I heard that I need to repent. And if I don't, I'm going to go to hell. That's so cool. I don't hear that. But is it needed? Speaking the truth to those who are in sin is foolishness. They reject it, get defensive like these guys in our text are. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." So when a sinner hears the truth and receives the truth, it sets them free. As painful and uncomfortable as it may sound, we have to be told the truth and we have to tell the truth. At this very moment, so many stages, and I don't know if pulpits, again, they seek to entertain and not offend, to have the seeker-sensitive messages carefully crafted, not to make anyone uncomfortable, and the results are weak, feeble, lazy sheep. Sheep that have no shepherd to feed them and care for them. But hey, the pastor was funny. Okay, that's a good takeaway. He was funny. I'll tell you a story. A couple months ago, my wife went to the movies, and when she came out, there was a note on the bumper of the car. The car was damaged. The note said, "I'm sorry I hit your car. Call my dad." And it had the phone number. So I got the note, and I called dad. I say, "Hey, dad, your daughter, hit my wife's car, and I want to talk about this." He said, "Oh, can I talk to you tomorrow after church?" I'm like, I'm dealing with a Christian. This is good. We're going to fix this up. I said, "Sure, man. I'll call you after church." So I called him next day, and you can hear the noise in the back, the Cowboys game. Nothing against them. I'm not saying you're not a Christian if you're a Cowboys fan. It is what it is. And he starts talking to me in this, like, Rico Suave, "Hey, man, you know." I'm like, "Yeah. So how are we going to fix this?" I'm like, "Well, what you do is you call your insurance, you tell them what happened, and I take the car and get it fixed." "Oh, you want to do that?" I'm like, "Yeah. Yeah. Oh, how can we solve it?" I'm like, "You called your insurance." Okay. So I go and I get two quotes. "If I give you $1,500, can we just..." I'm like, "No. I want my car fixed." I get two quotes. Turn out to be $4,000. They're both identical, within a penny from each other. I send that to him and say, "Oh, man, that's that. Yeah, I'm going to have to go through insurance." I'm like... He's like, "Hey, that's going to kill my son's insurance." "Yeah? So I'm going to tell the insurance company that my wife was driving. Are you good with that?" And immediately I go like, "What church does he go to?" I'm joking. I said, "No, I'm not going to commit insurance fraud, Mr. Christian." So it turns out, he's like, "Oh, you're going to get it fixed?" I'm like, "Yes, I am." So we got it fixed. He paid. I didn't lie. His insurance went up probably. I took pictures. I sent it to him. I'm like, "Here, buddy, I did it." Nothing works best than telling the truth. As a child of God, he would tell on you if you want to cheat. He loves you so much, he's not going to let you get away by lying. That's love. As we read this text, you probably caught on that the latter part of our text, Jesus kept referring to them as like, "I do the things of my Father, and you do the things that your Father does." And you saw that capital F, and he meant, lowercase f, for father. And he's like, your father is a devil. Your son's of the devil. And he's like, he is the father of lies. And when he speaks lies, he speaks from his own resources. The devil is a liar. That lies came from the devil. He lied from the Garden of Eden, okay? God, you will surely not die. Lie number one. Boom, here we go. And sometimes, perhaps, those in the church or that were raised in the church can buy into the lie. The lie that says, it's all good to be in sin. God understands me. He knows I have a propensity to just sin but not feel bad about it, but he still loves me. Well, you got one part right. God does love you, but it's not okay. The lie that says, you know, I'm just going to move in with my girlfriend, my boyfriend after all. Isn't that kind of how it happened in the Old Testament? You kind of just go, hey, I like you. And didn't Solomon have a bunch of wives? And David said, oh, yeah, no, wrong. That doesn't work. That's sin. And that's a lie from the devil that it's okay. It's not okay. The lie that says, you know what? You don't have to. You can worship God from the golf course. Oh, I'm going to get an email on that one. Just email Pastor Bill, not me. I mean, look at the birds of the earth flying as you take that drive. God fed them. Worship God there. Well, your family as a church, you can worship God from the Little League fields and the soccer fields. Why go to church as a family? That's a lie. We don't want to hear it. But it's the truth. Remember? Truth hurts. How about this one? I have failed God so much and sinned so bad, I can't go to church. Those people will judge me and look down on me and remind me of how bad I was. That is a lie. That's a lie the devil will want to tell you so that you stay away from God. And God forbid, I know this church, that should ever be the case here. We're a hospital. We're a hospital. People come here messed up. And we are to be the hands and the feet of Christ. And let him do the work. Amen? We need to keep in mind, in this text we just read, that Jesus could have destroyed those guys with a few statements. You guys are all going to hell. You guys are going to want to kill me soon. You got to repent. You got it all off. Before Abraham was, I am. And he could have just destroyed him. But he didn't. He spent the time to tell him, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. That is the heart of God. So he's taking his time to tell him. It's like, yeah, you got this. You are in sin. You are in bondage. You just don't get it. Warren Wiersbe, who is now in heaven, had this to say on the commentary on this. When I read it, I liked it. He said, end quote, "The worst bondage is the kind that the prisoner himself does not recognize. He thinks he is free, yet he really is a slave." When we just are in denial and don't want to hear it. Hearing the truth will rub us the wrong way. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says to those churches in Galatia, it wasn't one church, it was a region of Galatia, and false teachers have crept in and they started to believe. He told them there in 4:16, Galatians, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Isn't that powerful? Am I your enemy because I'm telling you how it is? Let me tell you, if someone cares enough to tell you the truth and call you out, that doesn't mean they hate you. That means they care for you. The people that encourage you in your sin, that doesn't mean that they love you. They're enabling you. But in our pride, in our defense, we put up the wall right away because we want to be in denial. Truth will pierce right through the heart. Truth must be spoken in love. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. But what is truth, right? Well, you've been talking about truth all this time. What about Mother's Day? Yep, we're talking about truth. What is truth? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because there's a guy named Pontius Pilate that asked the same question there when Jesus was about to be sent out to be crucified. In John 18, 36 to 38, I'll read the text. It says, Jesus answered to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly, I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in him at all. You see, Pilate asked the question, what is truth? But he didn't get the answer. At least, it's not recorded. So I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay, here's the truth. That God created this earth, this universe. He spoke it into existence. That he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. Who then was crucified on a cross for our sins, sinless. On the third day, he rose again. And whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the truth. It's that simple. Every human being needs to hear this truth and believe so that they may have eternal life. That is truth. It's exclusive. John 14:6 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. These truths everyone must hear. And this is the truth that many moms and grandmas have preached to their children time and time and time and time again. This is the truth that sets the slave, the captive souls free. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, I'll read it to you. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Timothy, who was his assistant, if you will. And after Paul was killed, he would take on the ministry. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, pay attention to this one. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift which is in you, through the laying of my hand. Paul would say, I thank God for your godly grandmother and mom who led you in the truth, Timothy. He was taught the truth. He ran his own race. And now he is going to take on the ministry of the greatest missionary who's ever lived, guy that wrote most of the New Testament. Why? Because he was taught the truth. Were you raised in a church, kids? Have you been taught the truth? Do you have a godly heritage? Have you forgotten your way? Have you bought into the lie? Have you taken for granted the blessing of a godly grandma, of a godly mom? I'll share this from my heart, being a parent. And I can stand behind this statement probably for the rest of my life. I don't really care how successful my children turn out to be. If you judge success by wealth or education and money, I can care less. If they're rich, I can care less. If they're poor, I might care a little bit because they're going to come and get my money. But I don't care. You know what does keep me up sometimes at night as I see them grow up? What will they choose? Will they walk in the truth? Will they walk their own walk without us having to remind them? I care far more that they walk with Jesus until their last day on earth than any success, accomplishments, medals, money, cars. Who cares? Who cares? That's what matters. For why? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Who cares? Keep praying, Mom. Keep praying, Grandma. I grew up, and my grandma is a Christian. She was a Christian before I was born. I think she got saved right when I was born, somewhere around there. Maybe because I was born, she got saved. And I remember growing up in a very humble home in Costa Rica, third world country, no AC. She always prayed, and she would write Bible verses and put them on the walls. And it's kind of embarrassing, a little over the top, but she would open our drawers, and there's a Bible verse, you know, and she just did it. And what she did is we had this old table, and this table had this old chairs that were kind of like a high back. And maybe you remember them, if not that you're old, but maybe you've seen them on movies, okay? They had like this rectangular backing that was wrapped with like vinyl. Okay, somebody did, okay. And she took one of them off. So it became a little more aerodynamic. You know, we weren't as sweaty. And she wrote on it with a marker, a place to pray. So I caught her many times in her room where she would use the back end. She would kneel there. She's 80 now, almost 80. And she would pray for us by name. So I would have been like 8, 7, 8, 9 years old. I remember this day like it was yesterday. She was there praying. Everybody's looking for grandma because she cooks, right? So, and she knew because she would pray out loud and say, okay, we can't interrupt her right now. And she will go and pray for all of us by name. Spend about 2 or 3 minutes each, right? I remember. I'll just stay by the door and wait for my name. Then my name would show up. I'm like, okay. Yep. Sweet. And then I'll just go and play. Did I turn out to be a mess? I did. Did I act like a bad donkey my teenage years? I did. Did I put them all through pain because I was a fool? I did. But did the Lord save me in his time? He did. And I go back as a little guy. I wish I could find that thing. It's probably in the trash somewhere. And I would frame that thing. Because who knows how many prayers. Why am I saying this? She spoke the truth in love to us, even when we don't want to hear it. And while we were stiff-necked and something in our hearts was happening. And she bundled that up, praying by name. And today, I think she was watching online earlier. If she's not, I'll tell her to repent. But her grandson. And I can guarantee you, when I was acting up, she probably thought the prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing right down. But see, her job was to pray and commit me to God. It was up to God to do the work. As Pastor Bill often shares, prayer is the work. So I want to encourage you, mom, grandma, grandpa, mother figure, aunt, keep praying. Keep praying for those kids. In 3 John, chapter 1, 3 and 4, John says this, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." Verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth." I think we can all say amen to that. So I want to talk to us kids on this Mother's Day. Do you want to bring joy to them today? You can. Walk in the truth. Not out of emotion, because it's Sunday, it's Mother's Day, and we have to all wear pink and take her to brunch. No, not out of emotion. But if you're being convicted in your heart, you do that. You'll bring joy to mom and grandma. Pick up the phone. Call them. Send them a text. Better yet, go visit them. So we have heard the gospel clearly. We have heard God's truth clearly in the text. And if you don't know the truth, and you just learned today you're in bondage to sin, maybe you never repented of your sins, now the choice becomes yours. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Any prodigals perhaps in the room or watching online, I call you. Is it time to come home? Is it time to come home? Is it time to put your pride down and just come home? Are you fighting your pride and you want to be released? A few months ago, I don't remember what I was doing, but something was impressed upon my heart. And I'm very careful when I say the Lord put this on my heart, because I don't want to just say that and it's not the Lord. You know, I want to be like, but I think it's the Lord. But it was this phrase: there is freedom in surrender. I'm like, okay, I don't have that intellect. I'm not a thinker. I'm like, that wasn't me. There is freedom in surrender. That is opposite of what we know. There is no freedom when you surrender. There is freedom when you surrender to God and you let down your pride and you no longer have to fight. You no longer have to change the topic of conversation. You no longer have to avoid those people. There's now freedom because you've surrendered. And you walk in freedom. It's like you can take this deep breath once again. You are free because you're no longer fighting. There's freedom in surrender. Surrender of what? My will, my plans, my agenda? To a God that knows it all. To a God who framed me and knows me, who actually holds my very breath in his hand. And he can let go any moment. There's freedom to just release our will to him and let him lead us in his truth. Because by finding and knowing the truth, we will be free. I pray that, as again, we've heard clearly God's truth from his word, and we are challenged to pray, to walk in truth, to surrender our pride. And how about this for a change? To put on humility, for God resists the proud, but he does give grace to the humble. My old pastor in California used to say something like, humility is always in. That was one of his lines. Pride, not. Humility is always in. Everybody likes humble people. People that are just humble enough to say, yes, I need Jesus. Yes, I need to surrender. Yes, I've been acting like a donkey. I'm telling you, and I didn't share this in the first sermon, in the first service, so maybe this is for someone. But there was an instance when I was not doing well, and I got in trouble. And I didn't come home that night. But this is before cell phones and Live 360. Which you parents would say, oh, I know where they are. They're almost home. Or, oh, they're with their friends. Or, oh, they turn off the phone. So my family could not find me. I got in trouble that night, and I ended up spending the night with my friends. And I'll never forget, I came home the next day, and nobody knew where I was. And my uncle is like, you could have called. And I'm like, well, I couldn't call. Like, it wasn't, don't you could have called, because grandma, my grandma, slept with the phone in her hand, waiting for you to call. That wasn't cool. Kids, I'm telling you, because I've lived it. If you're acting like a donkey, stop it. That's the Lord. Do you hear that? I didn't plan that. I told Paul to jump later, not kidding. Stop it. Stop it. You're loved. If you have a family, a mom, a grandma that loves you, say thank you. Walk in truth. Repent if you must. And go for it. So as our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, I want to give an opportunity. If anyone in here needs to come home, if anyone in here probably heard the gospel for the first time, and you just found out that you are in sin and a slave of sin, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that you may receive forgiveness of sin and walk with him. If that's you, wherever you are, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. See a hand? Anybody else? Anybody else that says it's time to come home, stop acting up, and walk with Jesus? Last call before I pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You saw the hand. You saw the hand. And that simple act of faith of saying, I am done with my pride. Lord, I pray. In this very moment, you do a work in each and every heart. Maybe there's hands that stood down because the pride won. Lord, do a work in each and every heart in this place right now. Convict us of sin if we must. Lord, for the hand that was up, anoint them, use them, bless them, empower him, and have your hand upon him. We thank you for your word. We thank you because as your children, we are free, free from sin. Our hope is secured in heaven. We thank you for that. We thank you for every mom, every grandma, every mother figure. We pray you bless them. Not just today, every day. Give them strength, each and every one of them, for all the hard work they do. We thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.